Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're focusing on the Advent theme of light. This ties in well with the song of Zechariah from Luke chapter 1, which we sang earlier in place of a psalm. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist, and he sang the following over his newborn son under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High God. You will go ahead of the Lord to prepare his road for him, to tell his people that they will be saved by having their sins forgiven. Our God is merciful and tender. He will cause the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us and to shine from heaven on all those who live in the dark shadow of death, to guide our steps into the path of peace. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The night was pitch black and blowing a gale. A small fishing boat on the sea was violently tossed about by the huge waves. The rain was so heavy, visibility was almost non-existent. The captain could see neither land nor stars to navigate by. He knew this coast well. Treacherous shoals and jagged rocks meant there were very few safe harbours. All he could do was post lookouts in the hope they would see something before they hit it. The cabin boy was in the prow, straining his young eyes to see in the gloom. Suddenly, a brief pinpoint of light appeared. He rubbed water from his eyes and stared intently into the darkness. Yes, there it was again. A brief flash of light. Captain, he shouted above the roar of the storm, I think I see the Cape Lighthouse, 10 degrees to port. The captain's older eyes could see nothing, but he turned the tiller in the direction the boy was pointing. Long minutes passed before he too made out a flash of light. The little boat pitched and rolled, but the light grew steadily nearer and clearer. After what seemed like hours, the bright beam illuminated the boat and the safe passage into the harbour. As the battered boat and its equally battered crew limped in past the heads, the wind and waves died down. They were home and safe at last. In Luke's Gospel, the birth of Jesus was preceded by the birth of his cousin, John the Baptist. At that birth, John's father Zechariah sings the song we sang and heard today. Zechariah praises God for the work he is about to do, fulfilling promises he made in the Old Testament right back to Abraham to send a Saviour. Zechariah's song paints a wonderful word picture of what effect this Saviour will have. His coming will be like the sunrise, bringing light to the people sitting in darkness, to people living under the shadow of death. Like a lighthouse, the Saviour's light will be a guide that draws people out of darkness and peril into light and peace. And Zechariah prophesies the role his son John will have. He will be the messenger who precedes that Saviour, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. John would tell the people that the Lord will save them by forgiving their sins. He will point them to the coming light, to the light personified by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So what is this light, and what does it have to do with Advent? As we heard in last week's sermon, Advent means coming. The season of Advent is a time of preparation for the coming of Jesus. But Advent is not just a time of preparation for Christmas each year. As we celebrate Advent, we consider Jesus coming across three time periods. Firstly, we have the original Advent, the time of Zechariah and John the Baptist, when they prepared the people of Israel for the coming of Jesus at Bethlehem and his ministry on earth. Then we have the final Advent that was the focus of the readings for the end of the church year, the time when Jesus comes again at the end of the world to complete his work of salvation. And then we have the season of Advent each year, when we reflect on how Jesus comes to us in the here and now. Thus, this season is really three Advents in one, reflecting on how Jesus has come, how he comes to us now, and how he will come again. Today's theme of light gives us a helpful picture of how Jesus comes to us now. It uses something we know, something we can see and understand, to describe spiritual realities we can't see and which we struggle to understand. For example, earthly light is essential for life. Without the light of the sun, plants won't grow and everything on earth would die. Light is also important for sight. Without light, we would struggle to get around and conduct our daily activities. For people accustomed to seeing, darkness restricts their motion. Stumbling around in the dark may even endanger life. So light is a picture of life, health, and well-being, whereas darkness is a picture of death and despair. It's no wonder then that the Bible uses light to describe God. For example, John in his first epistle says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Jesus himself claimed to be the light of the world. He says, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Like the lighthouse in the story, Jesus leads people out of the darkness of sin and death and into the light of life in his presence. He not only did this in the past through his appearance as a baby in Bethlehem, but he continues to do so today, and he will continue to do so until the end of time. And how does Jesus do this? Jesus shines his light on us primarily through his word. For example, in Psalm 119, the psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And the Apostle Peter writes in his second letter, "We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." And so, through the Bible, Jesus continues to speak to people today, revealing his light to them and leading them to salvation. Jesus continues to lead people out of darkness, that is, out of unbelief and the fear of God, and into the light, where we can learn to trust that God loves us and he wants the best for us. One final point I want to make about Jesus' light is that it's not only external, bringing us out of darkness and illumining our surroundings. For Christians, Jesus' light is now internal as well, drawing the darkness out of us and illuminating our hearts. As we read in 1 John chapter 1, "If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." Once Jesus puts us onto the path of salvation, he wants us to live in light and not return to darkness. And because he knows it's impossible for us to do so in our own strength, he shines the light of his word into our hearts and reveals the darkness that is still there. And then through his blood, which we receive weekly in Holy Communion, Jesus removes that darkness. He brings us peace and fellowship with God and with each other. No longer do we need to have bad consciences because our hearts are dark, nor do we need to fear that God will punish us for it. Indeed, we no longer need fear anything in the future, because we now see that we belong to God. Likewise, we have no cause to fight or to hurt each other. Instead, as we live in God's light, we can live in peace with one another, forgiving and being forgiven. Jesus exchanges our darkness for his light, making us into little lights that reflect the glory of his great light. That's why Jesus could say to his disciples in Matthew 5 that they too are the light of the world. Now Jesus asks his disciples, including you, to shine in the world so that the people still in darkness will see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Note here that our light, our good works, are not to draw attention to ourselves, but we do them so that others will give glory to God the Father. Like John the Baptist witnessed to Jesus' sunrise, or the cabin boy in the story pointed his captain towards the lighthouse, so our little lights point others to Jesus' great light. A light that brings people out of the darkness and then draws the darkness out of them. A light that puts people on the path to peace and gives them life in all its fullness, both now and into eternity. Dear people of the light, this Advent I encourage you to meditate on light and what it means for you. Rejoice that you are living in the light. Jesus, the light of the world, has come and continues to come to you through his word to give you life and peace in the present and hope for the future. Through his blood, Jesus removes any darkness in you and makes you into a little light, reflecting his great light. He gives you the privilege of sharing the message and role of John the Baptist to prepare the way for his coming. A coming that happens this year, which we will celebrate at Christmas, and a coming again on the last day to destroy the darkness forever. And so this Advent, I also encourage you to rejoice, for our God is merciful and tender. He will cause the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us, and to shine from heaven on all those who live in the dark shadow of death, to guide our steps into the path of peace. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.